Blog Talk Radio. Well, shalom. Hello. Greetings to everyone. I want to apologize for that clip. I didn't realize how bad it get at the end. On the internet, it sounds fine, but on cell phones, it sounds horrible. And I just kind of realized that, so I do apologize not to make a change about that. But anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth. And as I say every single week, and I mean it every single week, we're going to have an exciting time today talking about amazing biblical proof of black Jews, 101. We call it 101 because we deal with just on an elementary level where anybody can understand. This is not one of those episodes for the Israelites. This is an episode for those that do not believe, do not endorse, do not understand this whole talk concept, and you may even sometimes fight against it. And that's the truth. So this show is for you. This show is for you to come and ask questions and try to get an understanding on why millions of people are talking so much about this. And I do mean that. I'm not trying to hype it up. Had the opportunity to do a lot of traveling all over the world. And I'm telling you folks, believe Brother Seth, it is a worldwide movement. And I know that people talk about the nation of Israel and how that, you know, the Valley of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon, how that, you know, people are going to come against the Jewish people and they're going to be defeated and all this stuff. I've heard it all, but I'm telling you, we need to be very careful with who we call Jewish people. Okay, it's just that simple. We've been saying some things for a very long time without a lot of proof. And we need to, as believers, as followers of the Most High, be very careful. Be careful with what we're saying and endorsing, okay? And I know we've learned, history has proven that just because the majority of people say a thing or do a thing doesn't mean it's necessarily right. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when the majority does something, most likely it is a lie. It is deception. It is controlled by some higher power. And so we have a lot of people on our planet that wants to control the minds of humanity. They are real. They are alive. We can call the names. Some of y'all know them. So, folks, this is nothing to play with. This is a time to be very on high alert because the enemy wants your soul. He wants your soul. He don't mind your living. The enemy ain't always out to kill everybody. The enemy is out for your soul. He's out for your soul. He's out for your soul. He's out for your soul. So he wants us walking around, living, but basically dead spiritually, where we will not have contact or a relationship or a harmonious relationship with our Creator. And that is his job, and we got to be careful as we'll find ourselves living on this earth but with no reason, existing on this earth but with no substance. And I know a lot of people that live and they, you know, they have houses and cars. I'm not picking on well-to-do people, but they have a lot of what the world calls success, but they have sold their souls a long time ago, and they just basically is going through the motion, okay? And then there's a lot of people who don't have anything doing the exact thing. They are just simply going through the motions. And I hope and pray that the Most High will keep you and myself in our right mind to where we'll keep seeking his face, his will for our lives, okay? So today we're going to do something a little different. I've talked about a lot of different ways, angles regarding this truth. I've come at it all kind of ways and angles, but today I'm going to do something a little different and come at it a little different. So we're going to talk about people that are influential, that are influential in our world, even celebrity status that have been moved or blessed by the Hebrews and the doctrines they teach, the main one in who are the real Jews, and they've been blessed by it. I'm going to name some names. Some of y'all know that some of these people, others won't know, but this movement has touched many people. And why do I name celebrities or influential people on a biblical show. Well, I told y'all last week that one of the things we're going to start doing is including other things along with the scriptures. The scriptures should be enough. End of story. End of conversation. It should be enough. Once somebody show you in the scriptures the prophecies that Israel is supposed to go through and we are going through them, that should be enough. But some people don't believe in the Bible. They have issues with the Bible. And if they can see other people endorsing it, a statue, that means something to them. It gives them points. That's a very weak person, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, it really is, but I am trying to reach everyone, and I don't think that just because people don't agree with the Bible that they don't need to be reached, or they're not, they're wicked, or they're this or they're that. The Bible has had a lot of people go before it and has poisoned this very book. Some of the representatives of the Most High have really done more harm to this book than good. And so I don't blame a lot of people for doubting the Bible. When you see missing books, you see the Bible saying, and many other things did King David, and it's written in the book of Jasher. Now, there in the Bible, it's mentioning a different book, and you can't go find that book. That's something. A lot of people pay attention to stuff like that. So I don't blame a lot of people for being suspect of the scriptures. But at the same time, there are others that live by it exclusively, and we will always, always include the scriptures in whatever we do and say. We'll always look for biblical scriptural approval by anything we adapt belief-wise. I do think everything is in the Bible, or if it's not in the Bible, biblical principles can control it. Okay? So going to play one more song, and then we're going to get right into this whole thing about influential people having been blessed. We'll go list the names of people, and we'll also listen to some audio, if time permit, of some very interesting people that's pretty much preaching the same thing. You need to hear from just Brother Seth. I mean, although I think I have some show enough truth, but there are a lot of other people that are preaching this thing and could do an even better job than I do, and I don't mind sharing them. So here we go. I want to play this, and then we'll be back shortly after this clip. Okay. Thank you all for stopping by. Five new songs. I can never thank you enough. I really appreciate it. We're going to have an exciting time today. Okay? Just wait and see. Prince Malachi. Hey!
should be M-E-A-R. Can't forget Abby Shane, who bloody 300 been hit, was the captain of the Lions. Can't forget Benaiah, who jumped in the pit with a lion, slew it on a snowy day. Hey, I got a rep for the lion hearted. Y'all bless the spirit of my dearly departed. Who put their life on the line, defended my people from the uncircumcised. Praise Yah, for his heavenly power. My city rising came like a beautiful flower. My king be the champion, living in desert, be self-made it now. We got in the flesh, be self-made it too, but we die like you do. Commanded by the Most High only, bring your tithes and offerings to the sons of Aaron. Only to Jerusalem only. Deuteronomy 16, 2 Chronicles 7, 12. Y'all should read it yourself. This is not a lie. Here to bring you the message. I'll let you know some great lessons. Deuteronomy 12, Leviticus 23, Leviticus 22. This word is the living truth. And so it's spit in the fire. Never call me a dragon, cause I am only a lion. Still sing the songs of my grandpa David. Hey, I am not to play with. Got feelings in my music like my grandpa David.
That's right. Lead us to Zion. Lead us to a better, pure way, the ancient way. And that's by Brother Malachi. And again, I'm just thankful for everybody that joined us today. And many of you is probably wondering, why do Brother Seth need to point out the fact that there are celebrities that follow or that endorse, that are support, that have supported this whole belief of certain African Americans or certain dark-skinned people across the globe being the true Israelites. Again, like I said earlier, if you missed it earlier, we don't need them endorsing us to know who we are. When I say we, I'm talking about those of us that just don't need that. We don't need celebrities to do anything, to validate anything, but some people do. And I said last week that one of the changes we was going to make on this show is we're going to start including other proof of this biblical truth. When something is true, you can prove it more than one way. When something is a lie, you always need to explain and add and change But when something is true, you can prove it more than one way. And this whole truth about African Americans being one of the lost tribes of Israel and other, as well as the other 11 tribes being people of color, can be proven so many different ways. So why just stick to one way? We'll never forsake the scriptures. It will always be the focus, the main thing. Everything will begin and finish with the word of the Most High. That is never going to change with this show. Okay, so you can always expect five new stones to always go that route. Everything we do, we try to make it Bible-based. Everybody got their own angles. We got a lot of different blogs out there. They prove things with science and all types of ways. We like to stick to the scriptures. But I think it's wise that you got people listening to your show that is just not sold on the scriptures yet, that you prove the Messiah and the existence of the Heavenly Father and the patriarchs and just all of the scriptures with science. With any other way you can. If they don't believe in the scriptures, they don't believe in the scriptures. People have come before me and poisoned the scriptures and have done things, tamper with it, and there are some people that throw the whole thing out. All this stuff is suspect to them. You can't blame them. You just can't blame them. So to you, those people that need extra things, I'll bring up some of your favorite influential people that you've grown to love over the years and trust over the years for whatever reason, if you trust them, and maybe by Mandela, Winnie Mandela, for instance. You know, some of y'all have, you know, have followed her life, and you trust what she say and what she endorsed. Well, Winnie Mandela visited the Hebrews. Again, we're all over the planet. She visited the Hebrews in Israel, and she like what she saw, otherwise she wouldn't have came. Winnie Mandela is a very important person. She's not going to spend her time with some fluke. She heard of the success in Dimona and wanted to check it out. As a matter of fact, most of these people I'm going to name has visited Dimona. Now, while I don't agree with every single thing I've heard and seen in Dimona, I must say they are the most successful Hebrew Israelite organization or whatever you want to call them, institution that I know of. Having left the United States in 1967 and been established to the degree that they are now, you know, having the Israeli government even to recognize them and so forth, I do think it's a kind of a tricky thing when you start joining their army. I don't agree with that, for instance. And I don't acknowledge Benjamin as the ultimate Messiah and so forth. I do think he is messianic in that he's anointed. We all are, though. But I don't see him, the word, the people, to place him there in Dimona. But nevertheless, I do definitely agree with the fact that, you know, their main teaching that they are, we are truly Israel, African Americans, having been brought to the United States in slave ships and having lived out all of the prophecies in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and the whole Bible, really. I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that so-called African Americans are one of the lost tribes, and there are other tribes, anybody else that live out that can say to us that we live out the same things y'all live out. They're nothing more than one of our 11 brothers and sisters scattered throughout the four corners. But a lot of these people I'm going to name today, the influential people, have visited Dimona. And this is where you get a strong statement. You get a strong statement when you put Dimona of them saying that the African Americans that was a part of the slave trade are one of the lost tribes of Israel. That's one of their main teachings. So I don't think Winnie would go there and be a part of that if she felt it was a foolishness. And many of these people I'm naming have supported this place financially, have supported this place in doctrine, have supported this place. And I can't even think of all of the names of the people I've met there or I've heard that have visited there, so y'all are going to have to bear with me. But I'm going to try my best to call as many names as I can, but there's many people that have been there of stature. Okay, you're talking about Louis Farrakhan, Evelyn Champagne King, Whitney Houston, we're talking about people like Bobby Brown,
who was a Whitney went called Whitney. Whitney have a relative that's actually a part of the Israelites. That's right. I said she have a brother that's a part of the Israelites. And so her brother believes strongly in what's being taught there and felt like he can help his sister. And she hung up on herself to go and get help. But as you know, both of them, when they went to Israel, I don't know if y'all was aware of it now, but they were battling strong drug addiction. And even while they was in Israel, it's been rumored that they may have even been involved in taking drugs because, you know, when you're an addict, you got to take it all the time, every day. So going to Israel don't necessarily deliver you. You got to apply what you heard in Dimona as far as us being Israelite, and you got to embrace the Messiah and the Father and everything. So I don't know if they got that far in their belief or thinkings. I don't know, but I do know that there was some strange behaviors by them, but they was there. Maxine Waters been there. Group of Black Mayors Conference been there. I personally spent time with the senator from St. Croix. SCLC was going to do a major, major thing in Israel that many of y'all may not ever don't know anything about it. But Martin Luther King had talked about having a dream that we as the people, remember he said, we as the people will get to the promised land. I may not get there with you, but we as the people will get to the promised land. Well, Ben Ami, the leader of the Israelites in Israel, and the SCLC and other people was involved in making sure that King's dreams don't fall to the ground. Meaning when he said we as the people will get to the promised land, they believed that King was talking about Jerusalem. And they was going to bring thousands of African Americans to Jerusalem and have them baptized in the River Jordan. It was supposed to be a big, big, big deal. I mean, people were so excited about this. And the powers that be just couldn't fathom them bringing thousands, and I mean, I do mean thousands. We're talking about lots of people to Jerusalem and have this giant baptism. And that plan was crushed. But the SCLC was there planning this, and this was a big, big thing. Did y'all know that? Bet you never knew that. So several government officials have been to Dimona, Israel, checking out the Israelites. The Black Mayors Conference, they had their conference there, from what I'm told. Stevie Wonder, like I said, Whitney Houston, I'm trying to read the list here. Beverly Todd from 6 Feet Under, from Lean On Me, this woman played in so many movies, it ain't funny. Actress Phyllis Sidney played in many movies. She's also a comedian, done a lot of work with Spike Lee. Bobby Brown, everybody know who he is. Evelyn Champagne King, everybody should know who she is. Dick Gregory, Marion Barry. The list just go on and on and on. Several large pastors have been there. I was there. I was with a lot of pastors that come from the New Orleans area. There's always a lot of people. Now, if I think of more names, I'll drop more names. But these are names I put on the show. That's why I could read them because I knew I was going to forget one if I don't read it. But also, today we're going to try to play some audios from different organizations, what they have to say about the Israelites if time permits. So and then we're going to also get into the scriptures as we do every single week, okay? I'm looking at the chat room, and I'm going to give some people I'm expecting, and I don't want to have to repeat myself later on, so I may give them a little bit more time. So tell you what, let's do this. Let me just go on. We'll just have to repeat when they come. But anyway, I just want to say that this show, or this topic rather, Amazing Biblical Proof of Black Jews 101, okay? I have talked about this for a while now, at least 4 months now. And I want to just say that I don't know whether, I mean, I'm running out of ways to produce this, and that's a good thing. I'm trying my best to think of every counter way possible to get this information out, and I'm running out of ways. I mean, I've used the scriptures, as a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and go through our shows real quickly and let you know, shows with regard to the Amazing Biblical Proof.
I'm just going to go ahead and open up my profile here. Again, we're at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_songs. 5 smooth songs. Go to 5 smooth songs, that's where I'm at. I'm looking at what they call on-demand episodes. And here is where you can look at a list of all of the different shows we've done, and there's 7 pages of shows, okay, 7 pages of shows. And I'm doing this because I want y'all to hear the different angles I've covered with this subject. We've talked about general characteristics of so-called African Americans, just general characteristics, things that we do as a nation. We've talked about everything from slave ships to how our women were taken slave and how that's scriptural and how that meets the scriptures. We've talked about our sons and daughters being taken to prison and how that meets scripture prophecy. We've talked about how that we've had name changes and how the Hebrew Israelites, when they were enslaved, one of the first things happened to them, their names were changed. We talked about how that we shall be dispersed and various all across the world, and we talked about how we went through that. I mean, I've talked about, I started talking about this back on March the 20th, 2011, and every week we tried to talk about different angles. One week we'll talk about what the Bible said that the preachers would be like or the pastors would be like, their rule over Israel, how they would act while Israel was in rebellion, how the pastors would be, what kind of things would they do and say to their people. We've taken that and lined that up with Scripture. We've done that, and we've talked about physical characteristics of Israel, you know, from them talking about their faces and was black because of famine, and visage or face was blacker than the coal. We talked about the blackness of them, and we talked about characteristics and features of Christ and features of Paul and how he was constantly mistaken for an Egyptian. We talked about, like I said, sons and daughters, what the sons and daughters would go through. We talked about, we talked about several things, 7 aspects, characteristics of Israel, different things they would just go through, what they would say within themselves. One scripture talked about how Israel would say, see if they're being in sorrow like unto mine. See if they're being in sorrow like unto mine. See if they're being in sorrow like unto mine. And I'll talk about how that is the heart's cry of most African Americans. They're always talking about how they have it harder than everybody else. We just say a few different words, but we're saying the same thing that they spoke in ancient times. We even talk about our young men, how they would stand on corners, how the scripture talked about Isaiah spoke of in such Isaiah 51:20, how that Israel young men have fame in their minds, they have fame in their minds, and they are just lying out at the corners of the streets, Isaiah 51:20, and how that's exactly what our young men are doing. They're lying too at the head of the corners. They have fame in their minds, and they are like wild bulls. And we went on to talk about just various angles. I mean, I've hit this subject so many different angles. This is one of the reasons why today, last week I said that I was going to start venturing out into different areas, adding other things that I know, like history, proving that we're Israel with the Bible closed. I mean, because when something is true, you can prove it. Oh, about to sneeze here, sorry. But when something is true, you can prove it several different ways. So we want to use science, we want to use history, we want to use common sense. That's a good one. We want to use genetics, we want to use everything at our disposal. So today, I figured I would talk about some people I've met in Israel and how different things I've seen by these influential people, different people I've heard have been there, and not just Israel, but Israelites are all over the planet. And there are a lot of people that are endorsing, not just the ones in Israel, but the ones that's all over. And I was going to, by memory, try to remember, but just try to call out some of the names Because, again, some of y'all, that's where you are. I hate to say it, but some of y'all, that's where you are. You like these people, and whatever they say, you believe in. You like them. You think if Whitney or Bobby Brown or any celebrities, white or black, say something, that it means something. Now, to me, I promise you, it don't. It really, really, absolutely, positively don't. I just don't necessarily need them to validate me. Okay, but, you know, some of y'all do. It's just that simple. And some of y'all have issues with the Bible. You think it's been tampered with. You don't go by it. You go by other things. I know people that say they go by nature. They look at nature because the Bible talks about how that the witness of the Father or there being a God or Elohim is written in nature. Nature even speaks that there is a God. So some of y'all go with that. And that's all you go on. You don't look at nothing else. You don't trust the Bible because you say it's been tampered with. And you just don't have no holler for the scriptures. And I understand that. So this is why we bring up the different people. And I'll go through that list again of the different names and people I've seen in Israel. Some of the people I've actually talked to, spent time with in Israel. When I told you I went year 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And in year 2008, I went twice, actually. So I've spent some time in Israel. I know what I'm talking about, folks, and I'm not done. Shalom to you, my brother Portia, 500, and Wayward, and all the guests there in the chat room and on the phone line. The phone line has got several people. And remember, those of you on the phone line, if you have a comment or a question, just press 1 on your phone, and this way I'll know that you're trying to comment or say ask questions. Today I want y'all to ask questions. Make comments. I really look for opposition. I will give you red carpet treatment. I will allow you to speak. I will not cut you off. I just won't let you take over the show, but I will let you speak your mind. This is one show we do not run from opposition, okay? But, folks, like I said earlier, we have talked about this subject, for 4 months now, going into the scriptures, showing you different scriptures that and prophecies and how the African Americans and certain other non-white people all over the planet is fulfilling these scriptures. And this is why we don't acknowledge Israel. We don't acknowledge the Israelis as the true people of that land. This is why, because they just haven't been through anything scripture. We're trying to go through what the Bible is saying. Maybe we are deceived. Maybe all millions of us all over the planet that endorse this belief is terribly deceived. But somebody is going to have to stand up and say, you know what, Brother Seth, I hear you, and I hear your passion, and I respect you, but this is where I disagree with you at. You're using this scripture like one brother was saying, you're twisting the scripture. Well, how can I twist 500 scriptures? I think there's twisting the scriptures when that rabbi on this aircraft, that 777 coming from a 777 aircraft coming from Israel tells me that the Holocaust is inside of Deuteronomy 28. Somebody know if somebody can show me the Holocaust in Deuteronomy 28, you're going to have to twist every scripture. That's going to be the most scripture-twisting episode we've seen today. Now, that's twisting scripture. But if Deuteronomy 28 says Israel will be put in ships and sold as slaves, taken back to Egypt, we can debate what Egypt means. Some of y'all think it means Egypt today. I don't believe that. I just mean back to I think it means back to captivity. Again, it don't make sense to put the people in Israel in ships and take them one over to Egypt when Israel and Egypt is landlocked. They're landlocked. It don't make sense to put a nation in both and take them over one your neighboring country. But then again, we can ask ourselves this question. When was the so-called Israelis ever put in ships as a nation? You can prove this 1,000 ways, and I'm running out of ways. I'm thinking, so this is why I said, okay, let's open it up to science. Let's start proving this way with science, because science screams who the true Hebrew Israelites are. The tectonic plate that African Israel share screams who Israel is. The history of them cutting up or creating that Suez Canal, making dividing that land, screams to who Israel is. That hot sun that beams down upon Egypt and Africa and Israel, the same sun beating down upon them, screams to who Israel is. Genetics, the fact that black genes are the dominant gene, screams to who Israel is. We don't have to just stick with the 66 books, folks. We're going to, though. We're going to use the 66 books, but we don't have to stick to the 66 books. But I got the most powerful weapon of all. I want to introduce you today to prove who Israel is. Is your conscience. That's why some of y'all keep listening to me. Because you know this brother makes sense. Maybe something you don't like about me, you can't quite tell, but you know this brother makes some serious sense. He always does. I don't know if I agree with him on everything. That's your conscience. You don't need me to tell you, Jack. You already know the truth. You don't need no pastor to break this down. You don't need to read no another book. You don't really need no lecture. Some of us, well, not some of us, all of us have the Holy Spirit dealing with us one way or the other. And the Holy Spirit is to reveal the will of the Father. That's what the Bible says. Who knows the heart of a man except the spirit of a man? Who knows the Father except the spirit of the Father? We have that Holy Spirit that reveals who the Father is. And he is the Bible. Christ said he's going to lead and guide us into all truth. Y'all know it don't make sense to have lily white people in that hot, hot, hot desert claiming to be bloodline Israel. You know it just don't make no sense. But some of you like this lie of them being Israel because it's easy. You have to do no work. Everything is already set up. If what Brother Seth is telling is truth, then oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It changes a lot of things. That means the international church owe Israel an apology because they have been in cahoots with the powers that be to make sure that these people are acknowledged as Israel. They have been a part of the biggest theft of birthright to date. That means end-time prophets and entire prophecies have been badly interpreted. That means that we're sitting up endorsing a people and siding with a people. I'm talking about the religious right wing. We're so pro-Israel, pro-Israel, pro-Israel. I don't mind you being pro-Israel. I'm all for it. I think the scripture does tell us to be. But who is Israel? And why do these people that call themselves Israel not go through any of the scriptures as a nation? So when I was in Israel, I had the opportunity to speak with Phyllis Stickney. Phyllis Stickney worked with Spike Lee on School Days. Oh, I don't want to pull up her credits, but y'all should know this really dark. She's a really dark sister. And she has done a lot with her career. But then Beverly Todd, you know, I'm just hitting on this, we're gonna get back. I just have to say this. Beverly Todd, thank you for that link, Fortune 500 of Egypt. But, and by the way, let me just take a little side road. I had the opportunity to go to Egypt, and I got stuck in Egypt. I was trying to come from Egypt to Israel, and I didn't know about this whole Arab-Israeli conflict with passports. My passports were sent by the Israeli government. I flew into Egypt and to Cairo, and on my way back, I wanted to take a bus to Cairo and see where our forefathers walked and, you know, I knew I probably wouldn't see the exact route, but I would at some point cross where they walked. And I wanted to see it. Well, it didn't happen like that. They had a bombing. No, they had a bombing on the way back. They I just couldn't get that bus ride like I thought. So I had to fly from Cairo to, I mean, from Tel Aviv to Cairo, take a sip of coffee, tea there. So anyway, I got a chance to take the bus on the way back. And we went to that Suez Canal and got stuck in something called Taba, T-A-B-A, Taba. It's right at the border of Egypt and Israel. And it was the best thing that could have happened to me, one of the best things on my trip. Now, I didn't think so at the time because this was a very scary, scary, scary scene. And I don't want to get too much off into this scene. Maybe I'll talk about it another day. I don't want to get too much off into this. But I just want to say I got stuck there. The powers that be knew of the Israelites I was going to see and did not want me to enter in. It was the Israeli government. Egyptian government let me through. You know how you have to go through immigration, customs, even though it was on a bus, you have to still go through immigration customs. The Egyptians were very nice. They kind of scared the crap out of me with those guns when I first approached the big old gate. It was just like in the movie. These two guys, these big old machine guns, there I am walking down the road. It was just a little narrow road. It's very scary. Anyway, I ended up, they was fine. I got through. I've got to tell y'all that story in more detail. It is very exciting. But anyway, so I go to these people that are sitting out this gate. If you ever go from Taba to Israel, you're going to go through this experience. I went through big old gate out here with these two guards sitting. They were talking to me in Egyptian. I couldn't understand them. And I remember some guy I met at the bus station. Remember, I'm taking the bus back. Told me, when you get to that gate, give him this money, this certain amount of money. And I don't know why I met that guy, but he was sent by the Most High because I got to this gate and these guys had these guns and they was upset. They wouldn't let me in. I was upset because they wouldn't let me into the custom area, and they was uttering something. I remember this brother said, "Give them this certain amount of money." And that's the entry fee. And I just took out money and they began to smile. And or not, just they kind of looked like, yeah, that's what we needed. Now, I had no idea. And they probably would have, I don't know what they would have did to me. But make the long story short, I paid the little interest fee, got into customs, and they accepted me on the Egyptian side. Went on the Israeli side, which is just a few steps away, and they denied me. When they started talking, they knew who I was going to see, Benjamin and all these people, and they didn't like them. And so, they didn't say all this, but I knew by the guy's body language, that's why they let me in, because everything was fine. But they said to me, once you go to Israel, so this is a lesson for those of you who want to go to Egypt. Go to Egypt first. Don't go to Israel first. Well, actually, they may not do to you what they did to me, because I was going to see the Israelites. So if you don't mention you're going to see the Israelites, you're probably okay. But I did not know that once you get your passport stamped by the Israelis, that the Arab governments have issues with you. I mean, vice versa. I mean, and that's why to this day, probably should have had two passports, like a lot of people I know, and maybe illegal, I don't know, but they have an Israeli passport. I mean, they have a pro-Israel passport where they go to Israel, and they have another passport for the Arab countries. I'm not telling y'all to do that, but that's what a lot of people do. Anyway, when I got in to... They blocked me from going to Israel. And this is all I have to do with influential people. You'll see here in a second. When I got into Israel, I mean, when I got, they blocked me, and I had to spend the night at this hotel. And I said, what's the name of the hotel? They said, well, that's the Sheraton. I think it was the Sheraton. Sheraton or the Hyatt, one of them, really nice hotels. And so I was walking to the hotel, and I was very upset and scared because, I mean, I never got stuck before in a country like that. Even though the hotel was walking distance, I was, you know, happy for that. But, you know, I got to go in and pay for, I don't know how much this hotel is going to cost. And I didn't want to pay that. I wanted to be able to go on to Dimona, Israel, South Israel, the hills of Judea. That's what I was trying to hit for. Make the long story short, folks, I happened to see this little water as I was walking by. And I asked this girl, I said, what river is that? She said, that's the Jordan. I said, the Jordan? The Jordan? And she said, yeah. And I began to go, wow, but it was so dark you couldn't see nothing. Now, I'm trying to show you how the Most High was involved in me getting sucked in Tava. Watch this. Again, this after doing this with influential people. Watch this. So I go on to the Sheraton. I think it was the Sheraton. May have been a Hyatt, but it was a really nice hotel. So I went to it. The rooms were like, I mean, it was crazy expensive. And so told the guys I just got stuck. I didn't want to pay it amount. One going to pay it. Hey, it ain't going to happen. No way possible. Talked to the manager, and he ended up giving me a nice deal since I was, you know, one of those persons that, you know, stranded or whatever. I had the money, but I didn't want to pay because I didn't plan on spending that much money on some hotel room. So anyway, make the long story short. Watch this, folks. I'm trying to show you the Most High working with influential people. Watch this. So I wake up the next day, and it's really, this hotel, one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in, to be honest with you, right there on that Egyptian border. The next morning when I woke up, I got a chance to see where I was. Folks, I cannot tell y'all the amount of excitement ran through me. That is probably to date the most beautiful sight I've seen. I've seen a lot of beautiful places. I'm talking about nice countries, you know. That Taba, Israel, Egyptian border was just amazing. And to know that this, and they was telling me that they thought that was where the children of Israel crossed over. I don't know, folks, but this is what they were saying, somewhere in that area. But it was nice. Now, had I gotten through, went on to Israel that night, I would have not seen any of that because all that stuff was black. I couldn't see nothing. It was very dark up there at the border. So what happened was I made a call to the people in Dimona where I was going, and they made a call in the middle of the night. When I went to that hotel, I got to the hotel room, I called the people in Dimona, let them know that the Israelis was not letting me through. They woke up the minister of whoever handles it. But they woke this person up. Can you believe that? They woke this person up from their sleep. Talking about influential people. And let them know, is the Israeli or mistreating one of our guests? He's down at the Taba border, and you need to get up and make a call. That lady made a call at, like, I know it had to have been about 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, who do you know can call and wake up a minister of I don't know what and I apologize for not knowing it, but I just forget what the person's title was, but whoever's responsible for that kind of thing with the Israelis. Made a call, and they called the Taba border and said, let this guy through, and they called me back in the hotel room after I fell asleep and said, Brother Seth, you are free to go. Just go right back down. And I said, you know what, I'm in the bed. I'll go tomorrow. Thanks, y'all, for sending it through. And so, anyway, next morning I woke up. I'm so glad that I had the mind to say no because I'm telling y'all, that was so beautiful, so nice. I took some pictures there. It was just so, I just can't describe. And you can go online and type in the Egyptian board and get a piece of it yourself. But it's nice, folks, nice. The breakfast I ate there was, anyway, I'm getting off a little bit. So I come on back. I just want y'all to see how the phone calls, you know, how they was able to make that happen. But anyway, when I got there, I met what is this girl? She used to host Beverly. What is her name? I'll find it. But anyway, I met several people there. Ebony Jet Showcase. Y'all remember the old Ebony Jet Showcase with Deborah Crable? Well, she was one of the first influential people I met there from Chicago. Deborah used to host at Ebony Jet Showcase for a long time. And it's not all anymore, but she was very influential in the country, really. So she was there. She and I was one of the first ones that opposed this whole multiple wives marriage because, you know, in Israel, they believe in multiple wives, and Deborah and I really came out against the Israelites on that. We just weren't buying it. Later on, we began to change our minds. I do think it's scriptural. I don't think it's wise. I still don't think it's wise, but I do think there's nothing wrong with having multiple wives providing you treat them fairly and follow the scriptures. And Deborah changed almost immediately. I was kind of upset with her that she jumped ship on me so fast. But we was holding, fighting a good battle, a good good fight of faith there for a minute. But anyway, shortly after that, I was in one of the little rooms that you live in Israel, and I saw Lady Croft walk. You should have, I mean, you got to know where I was staying. It was not, the Mono don't have elaborate hotels or nothing like that. They have this, a village, and it's just clean, and it's no violence, very hospitable people, and I mean, you know, folks, I'm telling you, y'all, you've got to go to Israel. Some of y'all got the wherewithal to do it. You have got to go to Israel, and you have got to contact the people at www.kingdomofyah.com. I'm not a follower, per se, of their movement. I'm not one of their members, per se. I just happen to go there and have been there for many years, and they have treated me with red carpet treatment every time. They have been most hospitable, most kind, and not to mention their rate is the most economical rate anywhere in the land of Israel. You would be a fool to go there and pay top dollar to have those Israelis to dodge black folks all day long on their tours. You need somebody to take you around and show you the true African presence in the land, and you'll be able to comprehend this whole truth about Israel being a people of color. But I went there, and I was in my room, and the room door was kind of open. I saw a young lady walk by, and I said, that looks like, I know that girl. And I began to say, oh, yeah, she was a girl on this movie. But the people there, when they get celebrities, they don't treat them like celebrities at all. And that's what throws you off, because you don't expect, you know, Beverly Todd to be walking around and just talking. You know, it's not an environment to be getting autographs, which I don't believe in no way. But, again, this show is talking about influential people that have been touched by the Israelites, not just in Dimona, but all over. So right now, most of the testimonies of these people I'm talking about has happened in Israel. That's why I'm talking about Dimona. But anyway, so there she was, Phyllis Stigney. I got a chance to talk to her a little bit. Very down to earth. I was just blown away by how down to earth this girl was. She just, like I said, nobody treated her like a celebrity. And then Beverly Todd, every single year I have been to Israel, with the exception, I think every single year I have been to Israel, I have seen that little van come in and bring Beverly Todd. Maybe a few years I didn't see, but she comes there more regular than anybody. Again, this is the girl that has played on, the lady that has played on Lean On Me. I remember Morgan Freeman in the movie Lean On Me, his assistant, his secretary, that was keeping him level-headed. But she played on Bucket List and 6 Feet Under, lots of movies, lots. Woman played on so many movies, ain't funny. But like I said, there's other people. Stevie Wonder has been there. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the clips I need to play here. I'm going to play a clip of when Stevie Wonder was there. Some of y'all probably have already, if you've been doing any research on the Israelites, you probably already heard the clip. But I'm going to still play it for you. And you can actually hear Stevie with the Israelites and what he had to say. But the Israelites have been visited by the president of Israel. Not that he has any points with me, but I don't know if he's still president, but not prime minister, but president. They have a prime minister and they have a president. But his name is Shimon, Shimon Peres. Not Sharon, not the prime minister Sharon, the Yahoo guy, who's president now, who's prime minister now, but I'm talking about the president, the step under. His name is Shimon, Shimon Peres, Peres. And so, anyway, I wanted y'all to hear a little bit of what Stevie had to say when he has been several times. Stevie Wonder was going there quite a bit there for a while, and there's so many people that have been blessed there. Again, we don't need these people to validate our beliefs. But like I said, some people just don't want to be a part of some little small cult group. When they see these big names going places, they know that it has some kind of substance to it. okay? I remember when I was flying first class 1 year, and I only mentioned first class. You'll see why here in a second. But I had a flight attendant pull me off and say, "Are you some celebrity?" I said, "Am I a celebrity? Why are you saying that?" She says, "Because anybody that goes to Israel flying, anybody that goes to Dimona that's flying first class is always celebrity." I say, "Are you serious?" She said, "Yeah, we get them all the time." She said, "As a matter of fact," and this was when they had the old Israeli airport. Now they got a new airport. Tel Aviv got his new airport, really nice, by the way. But when they had the old airport, the plane would pull out, pull up, and you'd have to get off the plane and walk over to the building, and the customs building. But what happened with the celebrities? She said they would always stop a little before they get to this, before everybody else would get out. They would let these Israelites that's going to Dimona, these black people that's going to Dimona, they let them off the plane. I think what she meant is they get off first. I can't imagine a plane making two stops, but especially for black folks. So she probably meant they get off first. And they have limousines to take them to where they do not go through customs. So, you know, celebrities go another way. They go and they have customs officials to do them directly one-on-one. They don't go through like places like everybody else. So anyway, she said, "Are you a celebrity?" I said, "No." She said, "Because they always go, anybody riding first class going to Israel, going to Dimona is celebrity." And I said, "Oh, really?" And so I thought that was interesting. So why am I bringing all this up? Again, some of y'all need this. Some of y'all need this. Some of y'all, you just got to have these stamp approvals by these folks. But anyway, here is a little 6 minute clip of Stevie Wonder when he was in the land of Israel. And this can be found called Black Hebrews Israel. Matter of fact, if some of y'all want to go to YouTube right now and type in Black Hebrews, just type in Black Hebrew, and I think it's the number. I think it's like number. You'll see Stevie Wonder's picture. Okay. But anyway, I'm gonna play it for you. Just give you an idea of the different people that's going. Again, I just want you to be aware that this is not a small movement. This is a movement where lots of people know about it. And now we're just talking about probably the weakest of all people, celebrities. But they do count, and they're not going to spend their money and time going somewhere so far unless they have some kind of substance, especially the kind of names I mentioned. And for those of you that are just clicking in, because I got to do this, some of y'all just now coming on the show, so let me do this. Phone lines have gotten some new lines just open up. We mentioned names like the SCLC. They had wanted to fulfill Martin Luther King's dream. He had said that I have a dream. We, you know, I may not get there with you, but we as people will get to the promised land. So the SCLC, along with Ben-Ami, the leaders of the Israelites there in Dimona, was trying to make King's dream come alive. They had a plan on bringing, I mean, it was something like, it was thousands, and I don't mean no 3,000 or 4,000. It was thousands. They want to bring a lot of black people to River Jordan and baptize these African Americans. And, I mean, it was a big deal, and they was really getting down to this. SCLC was there with their board planning how this was going to happen. Israelis, make the long story short, the plan fell through. And I know what's going to happen because Israelis knew if they would do something like that, it was, I mean, Martin Luther King said, you know, we as a people who get to the promised land, he was implying we're Israel. And so we couldn't have that. They just, Israelis ain't going to have that. Anyway, that plan fell through, but I want y'all to know that it existed. You go online, you probably can still get some information on that. But anyway, several government officials have been there, several government officials from our government. It's just too long a list. I'll name a few names here in a second, but just know that a lot of you have been there. I spend time, I'm talking fast because I want to get to this video and other things. I don't want to spend time the whole show talking about celebrities because, again, we should need their validation of this. But these things did happen. I did experience this, so I feel like sharing because some of y'all, that's what you need. I spent time with a senator from St. Croix there in Israel personally when we went to Wailing Wall. As a matter of fact, if you click on my Facebook, you'll see me and my wife at the Wailing Wall with the senator from St. Croix. So So a group of black mayors conference, the Black Mayor Conference, had met in Demona. Winnie Mandela's been there. Season one, I'm about to play a video of him. Whitney Houston was there. Her brother is a part of that movement. Bobby Brown, her, they've been there. Actually, Beverly Todd goes there every single year. I think that's where she takes a vacation, because I see that woman every year. She's just there so much. You don't even recognize she is a celebrity, but she has showed up as celebrity as they get. Actress Phyllis Stigney, Bobby Brown, like I said, Evelyn Champagne King. Y'all know her from back in the 80s, several hits. She had, and Big Gregory, Maxine Waters, Maren Barry, the ex-mayor. There's just a list of quite a few people that have been to Israel, not to mention the Hebrews in Chicago and in Atlanta. There's lots of Israelites that have ate there. I know Erica Badu and her boyfriend spend time a lot eating at the Hebrews. They're on the restaurant there in Chicago. There's a lot. That don't mean that they agree with this doctrine just because they eat the restaurant. I'm not crazy. So I really don't want to name them, but I'm just saying a lot of celebrities interact with these people that we don't know about. Okay, so I can't say for sure that, oh, they agree that we're Israel, but y'all know Erykah Badu, and she's a little bit out there. But I'm just saying there's quite a few people that mix in with these folks, and they know this truth, and many of them do, like Beverly Todd, agree and believe in it. Now, Beverly Todd's one of the persons that do acknowledge us as being Israel, okay? But anyway, here's a clip from called Black Hebrews-Israel, and it has Season one, so check this out.
They are officially known as the African Hebrew Israelites of Jerusalem. The way they tell the story, they were driven out of the Holy Land thousands of years ago by the Romans. Then they fled to Africa, where they were enslaved and taken to America.
The Holy One of Israel for blessing us with this beautiful day in northeastern Africa.
Their leader, Ben Ami Ben Israel, sees himself as a modern day prophet who brought his people back to their spiritual home.
I'm motivated by my love for the community, my love for Israel, and my love for all people. And it is my desire to present to them a peace plan that is based upon the words of the prophet.
Around 2,000 Black Hebrews, as they're called, have made their home in southern Israel. They're best known as singers, and by and large, that's how they sustain their community. Day exodus began in 1966, a time of racial violence in America. Back then, Ben Ami was known as plain old Ben Carter, a bus driver in Chicago, a bus driver who had a vision.
And the angel Gabriel did come to send the word of God that it was time to start the journey back to the promised land and to establish the long-awaited kingdom of God.
In 1969, after a brief stopover in Liberia, the Black Hebrews made it to their new home.
They're kind of giving a little bit of a history. I know there's one to listen to the Stevie one, that clip, part of the clip. So it shouldn't be about a few minutes away.
Demona is a tough town in the Negev Desert, right next door to Israel's top secret nuclear reactor.
Now, when they say tough town, I had to stop this. Tough town, they're not talking about violence and hardcore inner city. They just mean it's a desert. You got to know your stuff, you know, it's a desert. How, know the way I can say that other than being a desert would make it a tough town. But they have blossomed economically still in the midst of this desert.
At first, they were welcome, but then relations began to sour. The Black Hebrews say their connection with God predates even the birth of the Jewish people. So, despite the threat of deportation, they refused to convert to Judaism.
We just thought it's another group of Europeans dictating for us. Who we were, what we could do, and what we could not do.
Although they attracted star supporters like Stevie Wonder, the community remained in official limbo for decades. Their unusual lifestyle also set them apart from their Jewish neighbors. The Black Hebrews are vegans. That means no meat, no eggs, and no dairy. But come lunchtime, they say, that still leaves them plenty to smile about.
That's good enough. I just mainly wanted to just play. I know it wasn't much. For some reason, I thought it was a little more than that. But just to let you know that Stevie was there, he actually have been several times, from my understanding, and you heard him do his little song with the Hebrews there. But anyway, folks, there are so many people that have been touched by Hebrewism, Black Hebrews all across the globe. They've been speaking out on this forever, and I don't think I need to get any more attention than what I've done. Again, we don't want to give these people more credit than what they ought. Yes, I've had conversations with them, but I don't want to go up into this too much because I don't want to give homage to something that I don't really agree with. A lot of our celebrities are lost, okay, and we can't just base something on just because they do something or go somewhere that means they give it any type of biblical credence. We got to stick with what the Most High said. But I'm only discussing this, and I played that just to let you know that there are lots of people. This is not some small movement. And, again, even the size of the movement don't validate whether or not it's true or not. You shouldn't want to be a part of something because it's big. You shouldn't want to be a part of something because it's small. You should want to be a part of something because it is what the Most High is doing at this day and time in our life. It's just that simple. But I know who I'm dealing with. I know I'm dealing with people that is just like that, but there's other people that need a little bit more clearance. They need to know, well, who all's following y'all? Or they need to know, how big are y'all? They need to hear some of those names and other names I can think of as the show progresses. They need to hear that they're not going to be by themselves if they see the truth. But they just kind of hesitant. I mean, I know people like this. Some people is no different than children. They're moved by this peer pressure. They're moved by peer pressure just as much as kids are. They got to be where everybody is at. That's where they're at. And it's a shame before the Most High, but that's where they're at. What can you say? What can you do? So I wanted y'all to hear that. There was one by Evelyn Champagne King. I'm not going to look for it right now. But Evelyn Champagne King actually quit the music business and went and joined the Israelites. She was literally living in Dimona. I think she still does as to this very day. And there's lots of people that, you know, I would be walking around and I would be talking with somebody, and it would be a casual conversation. I mean, something that I might have brought up. You know, I might have brought up a subject to a stranger, and we're just talking, and they'll say, I wrote a book about that. And I said, well, what's the name of your book? And they'll name the book, and I'll be like, you mean blah, blah, blah? And they say, yeah, I'm the author. There's so many people walking around there, so humble. That was the thing that impressed me more than anything about Dimona. It's how a piece of celebrity, because they don't give them no extra holler, they don't get no extra nothing, and they
how a lot of people that is so knowledgeable. So many people were college professors, and they have medical doctors. We're talking about degrees, university degree people. But, of course, they operate and they do more of herbs. They work more with a holistic part of medicine, which is more godly, more like the Most High. But they do have their papers. I mean, there's some serious folks walking around their village, and you just don't know it unless you get to talking to people. And some of them are authors. Some of the authors are doing very well. I mean, you know, some of these books are at Amazon and some of the other big sites. So I just want to say that I just want to use this show today to kind of, first half at least of it, to kind of just share how they have touched the international influential type of people. They're there. They live there. They come there. They visit there. And so it's not a small thing. As a matter of fact, when I was there, I remember one of the things that impressed me was a gigantic greyhound bus-looking bus full of Russians. I mean, the whole bus was full of Russians. And they'd come there to learn about the ways of the Israelis, of the ways of the Hebrew Israelites there. And I thought that was impressive because they say that there's a book in Israel that talk about all the things to do, and the Israelites are in that book. So anyway, don't go to Israel looking for them to show you around. Go let the Israelites show you around. Okay? So I just wanted to just say that. Now, something else I want to share with y'all, if you don't mind, is another clip. Because sometimes it's just from somebody other than Brother Seth who is saying the same exact thing. Because some of y'all just give more credence to other people. I mean, you know, you like me, you love me, I think you do, but you like hearing from other people. So what I try to do on this show is I have so much information proving what I'm saying. I don't need just one person. I don't need just I can share the spotlight, so to speak, with other people. So I'm queuing up this other video I wanted y'all to hear, and then we'll look into the scriptures, which we've done for the last 5 weeks, and some of y'all probably. That's why I say you're probably going to hear from somebody else, because, I mean, I have melted this thing down, so I can't imagine anybody having a doubt. So, anyway, let's go ahead and listen to this particular video. I want y'all to tell me what you think.
This scripture points out.
This video is actually called Blacks Are, in Fact, the True Jews of the Bible. And they have so many parts to it. This is part 6, but there's also 1 through 5 you can listen to as well. So this is actually part 6. So, again, the name of this video is called Blacks Are, in Fact, the True Jews of the Bible. And here we go. Actually, I'll play part 1, and then I guess maybe every week we'll play a part. I don't think it's fair to jump to part 6. So here's part 1, Blacks Are, in Fact, the True Jews of the Bible.
Ezekiel 37:1-5. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. The scriptures also proclaim in Deuteronomy 29:1, These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Exodus 19:5-8. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me of all people. All the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called to the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Daniel 9:11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. John R. Moore wrote, understanding biblical prophecy and black history can set the record straight, where certain myths can be corrected in terms of showing that black people were never cursed because of their black skin, as promoted by the slave masters and other supremacists. Neither were they a genetically inferior race. The curses placed on Israel will help to identify who the real Hebrew Israelites are. The majority of biblical readers, including the black population, who were led to believe that all of their misfortunes were as a result of being an inferior race, have never recognized or understood these curses. This lie caused many black people to become ashamed of their history and ancestry, thereby cutting off their direct link to the Most High. All of the following curses were unleashed on the children of Israel and not on mankind in general, because it was with Israel's forefathers that the covenant was made. Leviticus 26:14-26 outlines the curses that would be heaped upon Israel because of its disobedience. Romans 11:8. According as it is written, Yah hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Since black people suffer from an identity crisis, Isaiah 1:3, they are not aware of their true identity as Israelites, the special relationship they share with Yah, or what sins they have committed against Yah. For this reason, they are unable to confess these sins while continuing to go against Yah's laws. Black Israelites in general do not understand why so much misfortune is befalling them. This makes it difficult to comprehend the severity of the punishments confronting them. Leviticus 26:14-15. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. The enemy of true Israel has slaughtered black people for centuries. Historical slave records estimate that over 100 million black men, women, and children perished during the Middle Passage on their way to the Western Hemisphere. In fact, so many dead and dying black Hebrews were thrown overboard that sharks often followed the slave ships. The survivors who arrived in the Americas had to dodge being burnt alive, lynched, tortured, murdered, mutilated, and dehumanized, activities that continued long after legal slavery was over. Leviticus 26:36, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. They shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall upon one another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth.
I just want to stop the video real right there and make a quick comment. When it says they shall flee when none pursueth, and they shall, you know, jump at a shaking leaf, tremble at a shaking leaf and all this, what it's saying is, because that scripture threw me for a long time, what does it mean, you know? It's saying how a lot of times we as the people will be saying, you know, the white man doing this, the white man doing that, and we, they're all white people that are doing some things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid. For sure, I'm not stupid. I know that there's a lot of Caucasians doing some dirt, but a lot of things that are happening is the Most High, and we're running from things that's really not even going on. That's why I say we run from a shaking leaf. We'll be blaming things on people that haven't done anything to us. It's the Most High that have come against us. Now, again, there are serious things that are done to us. We can document, yes, these people did the Tuskegee experiment. Of course that happened. But a lot of the things that are happening on a daily basis is not white people. And we're just running from a shaking leaf. Any little thing, you'll run with no one pursuing you. It just feels like everybody's your enemy, and it's not. It's just we are in rebellion as a nation. I'm not talking about those of you who are trying to obey the Most High. You have turned your life over every aspect to the Most High. You trust Him. I'm not talking to you. You're an exception. Your house will be blessed, but your nation is what's going to go through this. Let me finish.
You'll have no power to stand before your enemy. About 30% of America's founding fathers owned over 1,300 slaves. Slaves were also owned by 11 of 16 United States presidents during the time of slavery. As pointed out in the scriptures, those which hate you shall rule over you was clearly seen in those who formed the government of the United States. They could not contain their intense hatred of the children of Yah. Even the Declaration of Independence did not address the slave trade, slavery, or the plantation system, though the assurance that all men are created equal did not apply to the slaves. Joel 3:3-6, and they have cast lots for my people, and given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecian, that ye might remove them far from their border.
The word Jesus came from a Greek word, Jesus. And the Greek word Jesus was a Greek deity. And the word, as a matter of fact, the letter J was never in the original Hebrew language, nor the Greek one. J was never there. Even today, the Hebrew alphabet has no J. The Greek alphabet has no J. The J was the last letter that was introduced into the English language late in the 1500s. And the J letter came because a Catholic monk by the name of Galerius was experimenting with the eye and put the hook on the bottom of the eye and made it a J. That's how the J letter came into the English language. So his name was never Jesus. His name was Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh said. And if we remember, even in the gospel, when Matthew and Mark talk about the angel visiting Mary, and her real name was not Mary, that's the English word, but her true name is Miriam, that's the Hebrew word. When the angel appeared to her, he distinctly said, "You will have a son. His name shall be called Yahushua." Meaning, Yahweh saved, because he continued by saying, "He shall save his people from their sins." So his name tells who he is.
Revelation 2:9-10. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Israel and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, true Israel. Obadiah Israel of the Hebrew Israelites in Chicago points out that one of the facts scriptures gives us about Israel in regard to their physical appearance is that Israel is described as physically looking like the sons of Ham in appearance. Ham was one of Noah's three sons. Shem and Japheth were the other two. Noah's descendants repopulated the earth after the Great Flood. Ham's descendants are traced to the families of Africa. Ham, Quam in Hebrew, means black, hot, and burnt. Ham had four sons, Cush, Ethiopians, Cushites.
Wasn't that a blessing? Y'all see why I played that? I'm telling you, man, there's so much out there. But I want to just go ahead. I want to do this. And I want to go ahead and do a part two because this one is actually
Ham, Egyptians, and Kinesh.
This one is actually more listened to than part one. Many people are more blessed. So I just want to go ahead and listen to this. I mean, I just love listening to this brother share with this presentation, I should say. So anyway, the name of this, which you can find on YouTube, and again, just because something's on YouTube or even the internet don't make it right, but the scriptures. I love the scriptural source they use in this presentation. Check this out.
And Flipped, ancient Somalia. All four of Ham's sons and their descendants settled in and around the continent of Africa. This includes the so-called Middle East, which is also part of the continent of Africa. Ham's sons are the people of the African continent, ancient Egyptians, Ethiopians, Somalias, Canaanites, etc. The Israelites are descendants of Noah's son Shem, through Abraham. He is the father of the Hebrew Israelite nation. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and these sons are the patriarchs of the Israelite nation. The 12 tribes of Israel are as follows: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Ishar, Joseph, Benjamin.
The children of Israel were the children of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he had an encounter with an angel. Okay? In the land of Canaan, where they lived, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. One of Jacob's sons, who was Yosef, which we call today Joseph, Yosef was sold as a slave into Egypt. Being a Hebrew Israelite, he served Yahweh. He trusted Yahweh because that's what he was brought up to love and serve Yahweh. And because while he was in Egypt of his faithfulness to Yahweh, he won favor with Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt. And so when Pharaoh had a dream and could not interpret the dream, they called for Joseph. And Joseph came and he interpreted the dream and he made it explicitly clear to the king that we're going to have some years of plenty. We're going to have some years of drought. He said, but you know what? The years of plenty, we take all that we have and store it up. We will have enough to take us through the leading years. And the king was so pleased. He said, Joseph, you're going to be in charge of all this, you know, taking care of all this and see that this is done. While Joseph was there, his brothers forgot all about him because they saw him. And their father didn't realize that Yosef was still alive because they were coming alive to their father and said, "A while these children." But Yosef, his heart, his mind, everything was driven down. And he won favor. And his favor is what caused him to be able to reunite with his father and his brother. His brothers, when they came down to get food, Yusuf immediately knew he was his brother, but he couldn't recognize him. Why? Because he was now dressed in an Egyptian apparel. He had on
He recognized his people.
Obadiah Yisrael of the Hebrew Israelites in Chicago points out that if Joseph and the Hebrews looked like Donny Osmond, who portrayed Joseph in a stage play, his brothers would have recognized him easily among the black Egyptians. But Joseph's own flesh and blood brothers thought he was an Egyptian. The ancient Egyptians of Joseph's time were indeed what we know today as black. This is a fact attested to by many.
When Joseph became governor of Egypt, and he went to Pharaoh after making acquaintance with his brothers, went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, look, my family, my dad, my brothers, they all, you know, I want to bring them here because they're suffering over there. And Pharaoh was just happy to get Joseph's family down in the Egypt. And these were Pharaoh's words. Bring them, and we will give them the best in Egypt. Hallelujah. And for Joseph, Pharaoh sent cart to transport his father, his brothers, his wife, their wives, and their children. There were 66 people in all that left Canaan and went to Egypt. Hallelujah. But what happened is, while Joseph was there, he was the favorite to all of Egypt and all the nations around. Everybody knew Joseph because he was the man next to the king. And when the brothers came and they all settled there, after Pharaoh died, the new king did not know anything about Joseph. He did not know Joseph. So he did not take to Joseph very quickly. And so Joseph had problems with him. He had problems with Joseph in that he found that these Hebrew people were multiplying too fast. So he says, you know what? We're going to do this. These people might just overrun us. They might become more than us, and then join with our nation next door, and they will overrun us. They'll take us over. So he instructed the midwife. He said, every Hebrew woman that is present and sit on the birthing stool, you make sure, you look and make sure that child is not a male. If it's a male child, kill it. But let the female live. And the birthing women couldn't do it because Yahweh is was in them. And they allowed the boys to be born and the girls to be born, and the king got angry. And he got angry and he said, no, they're multiplying faster than we are. So let us enslave them. That's how slavery began. That's where it all began. It began with those children of Israel. And Israel was Jacob's name, who was changed to Israel.
This is a historical depiction of the Jews during the Babylonian period, clearly showing the African racial origins that many believe originated out of Egypt and was followers of the Akhenaten religion. This is a statue of the boy king, King Tut. This statue was found in his tomb among many of the treasures in Egypt during an archaeological excavation in 1922. Scholars say King Tut was on the throne of Egypt a few years before the Israelites' exodus. John R. Moore wrote that the white supremacist advocated that Jesus was white. The world has been presented with a white Jesus from the Roman Empire when Augustus was the royal leader around 31 B.C. to A.D. 14. This Eurocentric Christian world knows nothing about the real Jesus from the tribe of Judah, the Ethiopian who spoke Aramaic. According to Hebrews 7:14, the tribe of Judah, from whom went Jesus or Yeshua, the Hebrew name, came, is a dark-skinned nation of people. However, as Europe prospered, it presented the global world with a white Jesus. Around the time when the Bible was being translated from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English, Revelation 1:14 clearly states, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Jesus' head and hair were white like wool is merely referring to his hair texture. The only people on the face of the earth with hair of a woolly texture are known as those of the Negroid race, whose hair is in its natural state is like a wool of a lamb. If black people do not cut or comb their hair, it will eventually lock together and become woolly.
The word Jewish, the word Jew, was never and never is in the original scripture. As a matter of fact, the, again, if there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet, how could you get the word Jew, or Job, or Jeremiah, or Jehovah? It's impossible. It's highly impossible. You see. But here is how this the word Jew or Jewish came into being. If we go back and you see, everything that we say today is scripture based. Everything is in scripture. It's sad that many of us have not gone into the research to really get this stuff. But it is recorded in scripture. And it says, if we go back to the book of Genesis, let me see if I could.
Okay, let me just give you an idea. Again, folks, those of you that are still struggling with this, like I say, every Sunday, 3:30 Central Standard Time, we are here at Five Smooth Stones. It's talking about how we know we Israel. You can always rest assured we'll be doing this. I have gotten certain thoughts to change it, but it's just people are always coming on Sunday. They want to know. They want to sharpen their tools. Many of you know. You just can't articulate it better than others. So you, I guess that's why some of y'all come. But we always got people both on the phone lines and the chat room. And some not even in the chat room, they're just listening. And so we just welcome you. Sharpen your tools, sharpen your facts. Get your facts together, your scriptures together, not just for yourself, but to be able to share it with your brothers and sisters. And, again, I have got to do this every single week. I know y'all get tired of this. But, again, this is one of those things you want to write down and have in your arsenal, and that is, why this is important. Why this is important. So I want to take a few minutes. I know we only got 15 minutes left, but I've got to share why this is important because, again, folks, we don't need another religion. We don't need another religion. We don't need another something to list of more laws to do when, you know, half of us ain't doing very well with the group of laws we have. So why is this important? This is more than just a religion. It is more. It's not a religion. It's a way of life. Hebrewism is a way of life. It's not something you just do at church and go home and you don't do no more. You just do it at the mosque and you go home and you leave at the mosque. This is a way of life, okay? And I just feel like a lot of our brothers and sisters are going through a major identity crisis, as he said. The gentleman said at the book of Isaiah 1:3 talks about how Israel don't know who they are, and it reads, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know. My people doeth not consider." And that is so true. Israel don't know who they are, and they have an identity crisis. That's Isaiah 51:3. They have an identity crisis. Our young people have an identity crisis. Our middle-aged people have an identity crisis. Our older people have an identity crisis. And we just get along, and we think we're okay because we found out who we are in Christ, and that is the most important thing. That is the most important thing, who you are in Christ. What happened since Christ came and shed his blood and died for the sins of the world? How does that change your identity? That is major. You heard Paul talk about the beauty of this and how this is more important. But I just feel like, you know, while the Israel, you knowing you're Israel, may not be that important in and of itself, but what that does is that leads to other truths that are important, such as if you think the Most High is just punishing you for the sake of punishing you, and you find out by way of finding out you're Israel, you find out that the reason why he's punishing you is because he's already prophesied that he would do these things to this nation if they turn their back on him and don't pass down from generation to generation who they are and what the Most High requires of them, but he would, you know, do these things to this people. If these people don't know that and they just suffering, it makes the Most High look like a racist or partial. Now, that is important. That's just as important as Christ shedding his blood and dying. You see what I'm saying? So while it don't, it's not a big thing about color, what color he was, that's true. People are like, that's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal that African-American is Israel. But what is a big deal is what that means. That means that if African-American is Israelite, that means what we have suffered and what we have went through is prophetic. And if that's prophetic, that means that the Most High, the Bible say, whom he loves, he chastens. That means these things he have done to us because we have been rebellious. And if you get a whipping, if you're getting a punishment or whipping from your mom or dad, and you've done something, it's not the quite same. The pain might be the same, but if you get a whipping and you don't know why they're whipping you, and they just look like they're picking on you, even though the pain is the same, if they're whipping you for a reason, you love your parents more. You understand the whipping more. The pain don't really, it helps you. That pain helps you because you know they're doing it for your own good. But if you don't know why, and the color, him being black, and Israel being black, sheds some light on why we go through what we go through. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I know y'all feel me out there. So anyway, this is why we talk about this so much. This is why I talk about this so much. And that's just part of the reasons why this is important. Another reason, probably one of the even more important reasons, is the word, the scriptures, are going to contradict themselves as long as you have the wrong people in the Bible as the Israelites. Certain prophecies are not going to make sense. Classic example. The Most High talks about when Israel is obedient, they'll be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, they'll lean and not borrow. But if they're disobedient, they're going to suffer more than any other people on the planet. Well, we know for a fact that the Israelis are being knuckleheads right now. They are serious knuckleheads right now. We know that they are very rebellious, disrespectful people to the people in the Gaza Strip. We know that they're doing some illegal things to those people. Many people say that the people in the Gaza Strip suffer more than African Americans ever did. Because we had Garvey and Nat Turner and all these people that fought. Whereas there, yes, the Arafat is dead, and they don't really have a main leader. I mean, they have, you know, those, can't think of the militia groups. But anyway, I don't know why my mind, I guess it's just a little running a little, it's in gear one, but I can't think of the people that were the green, the martyrs. But anyway, they don't have a representation. So anyway, if Israel is just obedient, they're supposed to be going through pain, it's supposed to be at the bottom of society. But look at the Israelis. They run our banks. So-called Jews run our banks. They run the media. Everybody know that. They run Hollywood. I mean, for real. They pay a lot of these actors. And not to mention that they got a strong hand in pornography. A lot of people don't know that, but they do. These people are very powerful, very wealthy. They're not at the bottom of society like the Bible says, so the Bible looks like it's just saying something that don't exist. Again, it says if Israel disobey, they're going to be at the bottom of society. There's another scripture that talks about when Israel returns, when a remnant returns, this is going to usher in the Messiah. This is going to be when the remnant of the true Israelites start to return to the land. I'm talking about when Israel returns from all four corners. Even though I acknowledge Demona, I don't acknowledge that it's being the great return because Israel is going to return from the four corners of the earth, folks, when this happens. That's going to set a stage, prophetically speaking. After that happens, same thing is supposed to happen, they will even usher in the Messiah. So all I'm saying is, a lot of scriptures is not going to make sense. So what happened is in 1948, people started predicting that the end, that the Messiah was going to come and all these things because Israel, they thought, had become a nation. And it was an embarrassing time for a lot of preachers because they were very off. Hurt a lot of people. A lot of people fell away from the faith because that prophecy didn't come true. When the Messiah didn't return, there was just, all I'm saying is you're going to have a lot of that as long as you're looking at the wrong people as this Israel, as true Israel. Israel is supposed to be a type of clock. Some of y'all know that. But they're supposed to be a type of clock, prophetically speaking. So that's another reason it's important. That's another reason this revelation is important, because Israel is supposed to be a type of clock. When they return, when a remnant, not all of them are going to return to Israel, but a tiny portion of them from each tribe is going through. The Most High knew it would be in love with where we have been taken captive. We love America, a lot of us. We ain't going nowhere. But a small remnant will return from us and from other 11 tribes, the Caribbean, South America, wherever Israel has been scattered, India. Okay? So that's another reason important. Another reason it's important, and I'm talking about why it's important, why this revelation is important, is so-called white men have done these things to us, make the white man look like Superman. If the white man is responsible for the plight of African Americans, he is. They are a very powerful, powerful people, and there is nothing we can do. They are just Superman. There's nothing we can do. If they're that powerful. But I don't believe that they are, because the Bible says before Europe even became a nation of white people that Israel would go through these things. Israel would be put in ships and sold as slaves. These prophecies are older than the whole continent of Europe for having Europeans there as a people. I mean, it is. This is an old, old book. And these prophecies have been in scriptures for thousands of years, even before Christ. So what am I saying? These are the things, these reasons is why we teach this, why we preach this, why every week, Brother Seth, it's hidden, every week. This is some of the reasons why. Again, the Most High look biased. He looks like he's picking on us. But once we understand why we're suffering and why we're going through what we're going through, we see it's just a father with a belt. That's all it is, a father with a belt going throughout the house, taking care of business on those kids that are rebellious. That's all it is. And remember, if you obey and serve the Most High, you and your whole household, you turn every area of your life over to Him, so what you turn over to Him is what He has, and that's what will be blessed. These curses don't affect your household as far as just you directly, but you will be affected in that your cousins and relatives will be going through a lot of this, and you will mourn for your nation, okay? Another reason this is important, I'm telling you, I got lots of reasons why you should be preaching this, why you should be teaching this, why you should be printing this information, why you should be building websites, why you should be supporting a lot of us on this internet. The least you can do is follow us. Some of y'all still are not following Five Smooth Stones. Click on follow and follow the episodes. At least you get a reminder to your cell phone, your email address. That's something small you can do. But I mean, some of y'all need to go a little deeper than that and put your money where your mouth is, because some of y'all work, you're very successful in the businesses. If you can't get out here and preach and do some of the things that stuff, you like create blogs and try to share over the different social networks, then okay, not a problem. Everybody got their own angle, everybody got their own calling. If you call it a businessman, you call it a businessman. That means you're going to be one of those that support us financially. So I say to you, find somebody, not to be new, find somebody that's preaching. Like the video we just shared, that video was actually put on YouTube by someone by the name of DNA Dina. D-N-A-D-I-N-A. D-N-A-D-I-N-A. So go to YouTube and type, actually you probably have to type in the name of the video to get that person. The name of that video was Blacks Are, In Fact, the True Jews of the Bible. Watch part one. Blacks Are, In Fact, the True Jews of the Bible. Then it says watch part one. Then it's got part two, part three, part four. I think it's six parts. Okay? So I'm telling you, follow these people. And some of y'all know this truth. You just don't know quite how to handle it, what to go with it, where to go with it. Come on. It's not that big of a thing. You know Deuteronomy 28 says Moses is saying that these blessings and curses is to be upon true Israel forever. 2011 is not the end of forever. So you know wherever the Israelites are at, wherever the true Jews are at, they're going to be going through these blessings and set forth in Deuteronomy 28 and Deuteronomy 29 and Leviticus 26. You just heard the video where they were talking about these chapters. Folks, you just simply read those chapters, especially Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and you just look around and just see who is going through this. And that's Israel. It's the end of the book. That's it. That's the end of the topic. There's no more discussion. That's who Israel is. You can't go by DNA. You can't go by all this stuff the Israelis are talking about. You got to go back, stick to the Bible. Okay? And, again, the reason why it's important, and we're going to finish up, then I'm going to wrap this show up. Well, actually, I pretty much run out of time, but, I'll just try to squeeze just a couple more in. Another reason it's important is because there'll never be no peace in the Middle East unless we acknowledge the true Jews. End of story. They'll be fighting forever. They'll never have peace in Israel as long as we're not identified. Another one, this whole hatred among African Americans. African Americans have this deep hatred towards each other. We'll tolerate each other. We'll speak to each other. We'll work with each other. We'll live by each other. But that's just the reason we don't support each other financially, support each other emotionally, support each other. We just treat each other like strangers, man, because subconsciously there's this hate, there's this disrespect of us because of our plight, because of our poverty, because of our disunity. We don't understand that these things have happened because of prophecy. Once we understand the true Jew, what's really going on, the true Israelite, who we are as a people, how Most High have turned against us and said that these things will happen to us, once we understand that, we can understand there won't be this anger we have towards each other. There won't be this anger we have towards each other. There won't be this disrespect we have towards each other. It changed me, folks. It changed me. I'm lying not. I mean, this message here changed my heart to watch my own people. Listen, Shalom. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I got a song for y'all. Y'all know I always got something relevant. Check this out. This is going to finish up really nicely. What I think I'm going to say. Check this out.
From Genesis to Revelations, you could read in the pages, and you'll see black faces. The people in the book, yeah, they look like me. Change the faces and the color they took from me. Made from the purest of the rich dark mud. What color was he when it was all said and done? Tell me, what color would be the Israelite if he caught leprosy and his skin would turn white? Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned snow. Did it again and it went back to its natural tone. King Solomon said, I'm black, but I'm comely. Then what color would all of Solomon's sons be? Jesus went to a black Egypt to hide. How could that be done with blonde hair with blue eyes? Samson had seven locks. It talks about hair like wool, feet burnt like coal pots. Paul was mistaken for the Egyptian criminal. Could that be possible if he had a white visual? It's not about skin color, or close to that, it's just a fact. The people of the Bible are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Black hats and skull caps, black suits with white strings. The only thing they ain't black, the Israeli is from the land. But the Israelite is from Jacob, who was a man. They dwelt by the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, Gentiles, before they put on the mask of me, the seed of Japheth. What the heck? How could you be a Jew when your father is Ashkenaz? They met with a Muslim bishop, an Israelite, to determine what doctrine sounded the most right. The religion of the Jews chose the Kagan. They mixed it with the doctrine of pagan. They wrote their own Talmud, many books they finished, and they tried to say Hebrew was the European Yiddish. Today, they call themselves Jews. How bizarre. Yesterday, they were barbarians known as Khazars. God, hey God, yo, the only fake in this written in Revelation. You're the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2:9, to be exact, it's undisputable. The Israelites are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, resurrection. Every man got flesh and bones and skin tones. The Israelites are black. I'm just making it known. The truth hurts, but there's no other way to say it. If you missed it, press stop, rewind the blade. If you understand it, come on, come on, fall in the rank. Yo, here comes the roll call. Reuben, Simeon,